evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Let's stop there and go over to Judges chapter 3. We always talk about preaching, expository preaching, and different types of preaching, but you rarely hear people talk about prophetic preaching. The prophetic preaching will really bless your life. Amen. You got Judges chapter 3? Amen. All right. Judges 3, we're going to parade and peruse 10 verses here. And, I believe it's something there for us. Amen. And I hope the understanding is there. I hope I'm not, way out there. Amen. If I am, you'll get something out of it. Says, now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, 5 lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites, and that dwelled in the Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon until the entering of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. The children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I know those ites don't mean nothing to you. All right. And they took their daughter to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot their Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, a tag, or topic. The reason we war. Subtitle, the fight of your life. The fight of your life. As much as we try to avoid conflict or war or battles, one thing for sure is that there is always a constant battle. There's a constant war that is going to continue throughout history. Whether it's battle of good versus evil, whether it's darkness versus light, whether it's us versus them, there'll always be a battle. Paul tells us in this Romans chapter number 7, Paul begins and to tell us something. He goes on, and I wish I had really enough time to talk about that entire chapter, but I had to pick just a few verses so I can set this foundation. And Paul develops for us this morning a foundation for our message. Paul says that evil is present, but not only without, but evil is present within. Amen. David, I believe, was the one that said that I was born in sin, paraphrasing, and then I was born in sin, and I was shaped with iniquity. Basically, I was born because my mother had iniquitous feelings, amen, and I was born this way. I was born, and you know, we don't have to teach babies how to be bad. We don't have to teach them how to be disobedient. They just do. And then they grow up, and you still got to tell them. Amen? And then they get to be adults, and you still got to tell them. Because there's something in us that war against the good that God has placed in us. Amen? And so Paul established this fact, and he said that I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So what's inside of me, I desire, I delight. I find delight in it. I really love it. But even though I love the good from the inward man, the law of God that's in me, he said, I still have a problem. Yeah. Now, I know we all think that we Jesus is first cousin and we don't have a problem. We ain't got no issues. And, you know, today might just be this kind of message right here. We all like to believe that we're perfect. We're better than the way other folks are. But the truth is we all got some wrong. Amen. The truth is we all have issues. The Bible say all have what? Sin and fallen short of the glory. To fall short of the glory means that we did not the glory. We did not meet the expectation of God. We did not become what God wanted us to become in the situation. Amen. So he said, I see another law in my members. He said, my inward man delight in the law of God, but there is another law in my members. And notice what he said, it's warring against the law of my mind. I know better. But the law that's warring, even though I know better, I feel like doing something else. Lord have mercy. Even though I know better, I still go ahead on and, oh, okay. He says, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me, because the reason why I say the law of my mind is because we know that we have to, he said, that we have to be renewed in our mind, amen? And our mind has to be renewed in order for us to present ourselves a sacrifice as God would want us to. And so he says that because my mind's been refreshed with the word, I know the word and I know what's right to do. He said, but then there's some members in this body. My hands sometimes touch what I shouldn't touch. My feet go places I shouldn't go. Amen. And I say stuff. My tongue say things I shouldn't say because there's something in my members. Let me tell you something. You can stop cussing, but you'll remember. When you hit that toe in the middle of the night, you ain't intend to say that, but you said it. When they make you mad, you didn't intend to cuss, but you just, you know, you don't even know why you told that lie. It just came out before you knew it because it's in your members. Okay. So Paul said that he said it war against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity, binding me to the law of sin, which is in my members. He said, it binds me up. It messes me up. It keeps me from being able to be all I can be. It binds me and keeps me from being all that God called me to be because of what's in my members. Amen? And so Paul set this, he set the foundation for the message today. And he lets us know that inside of us, there's a war going on. And if you don't realize that there's a war going on, if you think that everything you think and everything you want to do is right, then something wrong with you. Because we have to look at our own selves and judge ourselves and see that I don't think right all the time. My intentions are not always the best for everybody all the time. Sometimes I am a bit selfish and I'm not thinking about anybody else but myself. But when somebody holds that mirror up, you can't get mad. And when you see yourself, we get mad at the nail. No, you don't get mad at the nail that's holding the mirror. You need to look in the mirror and make the change. James said, don't be a forgetful hearer when you hear something and you go along as if you didn't hear it. And basically he said, don't look into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God. And you see yourself not lining up, not adding up. And you look into that mirror and you realize that your hair messed up and your face don't look right. And you got matter in your eye and you walk away and go in the public like that. He said, no, stand there and get this stuff right while you're looking in the mirror. Don't walk away from it. But then we were all over the Judges, and Judges is you know, I seen something there, and the Bible tells us that the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament, and in Judges, every time you see a deliverer raised up, it is a shadow of how Jesus was going to come and save and deliver the people from whatever sin and whatever bondage they were in. Amen? And so when we look at Judges, the Bible says even the Old Testament is a schoolmaster. It's for us to learn a lesson from. It's for us to be taught something. Amen. And so here it is. We find in Judges that God gave some reasons why we need to war. And when we talk about war, Paul said that we ought to war a good warfare, fight a good fight. Amen. When we talk about war, God said he said in one of the Psalms, he says that God teacheth my hands to war. God will teach you how to fight. Amen. And then we find that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the reason why this message is important is because, first off, we are warring against an outside force, but we are also warring against an inside force. But until we get what's inside right, we cannot fight what's outside. Come on and say amen now. And so we have to work on training what's inside of us, so that once we train what's inside of us, we'll be disciplined enough to defeat the forces outside of us. And so we have so much going on, and I just want you to look around the world today. 2017 came in with a bang. It got a lot of people sick, a lot of people died, a lot of people going through troubles. Relationships, let me tell you, they are under attack. Friendships that were long-lasting no longer even exist. This is the hour and the year that the enemies turned up the attack, but we, here we are, still singing Kumbaya and not realizing that we need to be ready for war. Here we are still trying to say money coming to me and calling it and hauling it, blabbing it and grabbing it, and not realizing that we must first get some stuff together on the inside. In a world where people do whatever's right in their heart, whatever I think is right, but the Bible tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end. Men were eating and drinking, and they were married and being given to marriage. In other words, they really wasn't marrying. They would just take up with one another. That's what this is saying. He said in the last day, and he began to talk about those things that are going to happen. Rumors of wars and wars, earthquakes in diverse places. Jesus said this all in Matthew 24. You can go and read it. And he talks about all the stuff that's going to be happening. And what we have to realize is that there is a war that we have to fight, and we must begin to discipline ourselves and basically train ourselves for the war. So he says that now these are the nations which the Lord left, and the reason he left them was to prove Israel by them, as many as Israel had not known the wars of Canaan. In other words, there's a generation who've never been through any war. As a generation don't know what it is to struggle. I'm talking to you today. There's a generation that don't know what it is to struggle. They don't know what it is to not have enough, so you got to pray. They don't know what it is to have to take mess off of people just so you can have something for your family. There's a generation that don't know war. They don't know. They don't know how the ancestors that we had, the people that we had, they could not even vote. Women's had no rights. Men, black and white women had no rights. They were just a piece of meat, basically. They don't know that struggle, ladies. We got a generation don't even understand that you didn't have a right to do a whole bunch of stuff. We got men, black men, you got to understand that there was a time when you couldn't even go certain places. They don't know the struggle, right? But look at this here. He says that there's a generation. He said that a children of Israel, he wanted them to know what it was to have a struggle. He wanted them to know what it was to fight. And so I'm thinking, you know, when you go in the promised land, you're supposed to get there and not have any trouble. But you can possess the promise, but in order to keep possessing it, you have struggles. All right, okay. He says that the promised land was the land of Canaan, right? So he says, and only in verse 2, that the generation of the children of Israel might know, and guess what he says, to teach them war. Why would God want to teach them war when they're supposed to be at peace? It's because God expects us to fight. He expects us to truly have a war with the enemy. And sometimes we got to just face it. The enemy has infiltrated us in our thinking. He's infiltrated us in our actions. He's infiltrated us by offering us whatever it is he does through social media, through media, through the world system that he forces us into. He's put us in that, and we have succumbed to it rather than fight. So Judges here says that God did it. He didn't get rid of the enemy because he wanted to teach them. He didn't get rid of the enemy because he wanted them to know you're nothing without me, because if I give you just too much, you'll forget about me. Now, we live in a generation where people have forgotten about God, so much so that we live in a generation that they're searching for another God, and they're saying that the Bible is not true. They're saying that the God we serve is not right, but the same God that our ancestors served, and they served faithfully in order to make it to where we are today, amen, we have to understand that he's still God. Just because times get bad don't mean, come on and say, man, that God is not God. So he says that he allowed them to stay. He allowed these enemies to stay so that they can be taught something. Amen. And so not only did he want them to be taught something, but he wanted to show them that he was a deliverer. He wanted to prove something to them that they couldn't make it without him. He wanted to show them that not only am I the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but I'm your God too. See, we keep saying the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but we need to know God is our God. Oh, yeah, he's our God. And our children need to know that not only is he our God, but he's their God too. So God wanted them to see this. And so he says that he wanted to deliver them, but he didn't let the enemies overtake them, but he allowed them to have enemies. From all these enemies, he wanted to make sure they understand. Now, we got to make this applicable for today, right? And so I'm going to say some things that you might not get right away, but I believe the Holy Spirit is going to help you. Amen? So he says that, to teach them war, lest such, at the least such as before, knew nothing thereof. People who don't know how to fight gonna have to fight. I know you don't like conflict. I know you like to go away from conflict. I know you don't like stress and strain and struggle. But in order to make it somewhere, you must struggle to get there. In order to get any achievement, that is going to be a struggle before you get there. We live in an entitlement generation. This next generation, you may feel entitled to something, but you're going to have a war. You're going to have a fight. You're going to have to struggle. You're going to have to go through some stuff to get there. You can't just expect it to be. You can't just expect to have victory just because you showed up. That's not going to happen. And we can't keep lying to our children and making them think that they're going to have victory just because they showed up. No, you got to apply yourself. You got to discipline yourself. You have to train yourself. You got to be the best self you can be. Amen. And you got to give yourself to the Lord. So he says, look at this in verse 3, and this is getting to it. He says, namely, five lords of the Philistines. The Philistine, notice when David came to the Philistines and he saw the giant, he said, you uncircumcised Philistine. In other words, you fleshly. Yeah. All right. So the word Philistine, it is suggesting the flesh. All right. Y'all with me still? So if the word Philistine here is suggesting flesh, there's five lords of the Philistines. Y'all help me now. The five lords of the Philistines, we got to understand, are your five senses. They work against you. When it comes to faith, your five senses work against you, because Lord have mercy. The five senses that we have to fight with them. I have to fight with what I heard in order for me to believe God. Oh, have mercy here. I got to fight with what I heard. I know the doctor said I wasn't going to make it. The doctor said your family member wasn't going to. I got to fight with what I heard, and my faith had to contend with what God said. I believe the report of the Lord. If God be for me, then who can be against? I have to believe the report of the Lord. So I have to fight against what I heard, because now I got to hear the word. And I was telling somebody the other day, they was talking about what they were going through. I said, you got to hear a word. Well, I read my Bible. No, you got to hear a word. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In order for me to get strong in faith, I got to hear the word. I can't just sit there and read it. Now, it makes me knowledgeable, but I need to hear it because that's what God said. Amen. And so, we have to fight with what we've heard. Amen. But not only do we fight with what we heard, but we have to fight with what we feel. That's the enemy, because sometimes I feel like doing something else when God says do something else. You know, and I don't feel like praising him because of all I've been through, Pastor. You just don't understand. I may not feel like it, but I know I need to. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. That's what Paul said. He said, I really want to do good, but I found out that evil is present and it keeps me, it brings me into captivity. It binds me up so that I can't do what I should do. Amen. Amen here. So I'm still fighting the five laws of the Philistines. Amen. This land right here, this flesh, this dirt that I'm made of, it has enemies inside of it that I must fight. And here it is, the five laws of the Philistines. I have to fight with what I hear. I have to fight with what I feel. I have to fight with what I taste. The word taste really means what I experience, what I think is good for the taste, and what I think is good enough to fill my belly. What I have to fight with my experiences, because I had bad experiences and I don't want to trust no more. Lord have mercy. Yeah. I got bad experience and I just hate everybody. I don't want nobody in my face. I don't want to deal with church folk. I don't want to deal with work folk. I think I just want to leave. I have to deal with my feelings. We can't always be led of our feelings, because our feelings will fool us. Our feeling will get us off track. Our feeling will get us out of the way of God's will. I expected it to be quiet. It's all right. So he says that I got to fight with the five laws of the Philistines. I fight with what I hear, what I feel. I fight with what I see, because what I see is not good. I see all kind of trouble all around me. I see trouble on the news. I turn on the TV, there's trouble. I look on social media, there's mess. I look everywhere I look, there's mess. And so I what I see. And then I have to fight with what I discern, what I smell, what I discern. And it's not a spiritual discernment, but it's just, I just don't think so. Because I'm a little bit suspicious about some stuff. And I become schizophrenic and paranoid and everything else because of my discernment. Amen? I fight with those five lords of the Philistines, and we got to stop fighting with them and being defeated by them. We have to learn how in our flesh to get victory. I'm not going by what I see, because the Bible says I walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not going by how I feel, but I need to walk by faith, because I know I don't see this thing happening, but I do know within my heart and my spirit that the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Since I don't see it, I still believe that God is going to do it because he said it. Lord have mercy here. I'm in a fight with my flesh. I'm in a fight with what I heard, because people gossiping and you heard some stuff, but what about what the Lord has said? Amen. Oh, hallelujah in here. Come on and say amen. We have to defeat the five lords of the Philistines. Now, you remember when David went to fight against Goliath? The Bible said he went to the brook and he got five smooth stones. And reason why wasn't because he was just in case I miss. No, David knew that he wasn't going to miss, because God was going to guide that stone. Come on and say amen. But David knew that Goliath had four others that could have came up against him. Come on and say amen. Oh, glory be to God. Now this right here, what we got to understand is well before David. Amen. And so David knew that one day there were going to be five lords of the Philistines that he was going to have to face. And he decided that he took those five brooks just in case those other came out. He was going to destroy them too, because God had set him up for victory. And we have to come in just like David, somebody who's been about the praise of God. I've just been doing what God want me to do, and I've been praising him in my private time. I've been spending time with God. When you show up on the scene, you can defeat the enemy of your flesh. I wish I had somebody here that knows how to praise God, that knows how to have a personal relationship with God, because when you come up on the scene, you can destroy your enemy. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so he said, namely the five lords of the Philistines. And then he says, and all the Canaanites. And when we start talking about the Canaanites, when we start talking about those Canaanites, those Canaanites were the people who basically were the traffickers. They were the traders. And in other words, they traded something for something, but they were merchants, so they would steal if they had to. They would take something and leave you with nothing. Amen. In other words, here it is. We got to fight with the traitor on the inside of us, the one who would trade lust, love for lust. Come on and say amen here. The one, the traitor that will trade fear for faith. Come on and say amen. We got that Canaanite that's still in our flesh that we got to get rid of. And all he's about is material things. And so whatever he got to trade to get it, that's what he's going to trade to get it. Come on and say amen here. Then he said the Sidonians. And the Sidonians, that word means a hunter. In other words, we have to satisfy our animalistic hunger. Oh, come on and say amen. Now, we got an animalistic nature, a craving that we just got to satisfy. We don't care what it take, and if it take shedding blood, if it take killing something, if it take running somebody down, we got to satisfy that hunger, that thirst for it. Amen. Come on and say hallelujah. And so he said, you got that in your members. You got that in the land where you live. Come on and say hallelujah. He said, not only do I have the Sidonians and the Canaanites, he said, but I got the Hittites. And what the Hittites mean, the Hittites here, it means a terrorist. I got those that make the things that make me live in fear. I'm fearful that one day my blood pressure gonna go so high that I'm gonna stroke out. I'm fearful that I might contract some type of disease. I'm fearful of cancer. I'm fearful of Alzheimer's. I'm fearful of all this stuff that could happen in my land. I wish I had somebody. And so you got those Hittites that are living there. Amen. And so when he start talking about all of this, he said, you got those, not only those Hivites, but the Hittites, but the Hivites in verse 3. And what that means, that means the villagers, those who are tribal. I just do what everybody else do. If they put a bone in their nose, I put one in mine too. I don't really know. I just follow whoever. I just do what everybody else do. And the thing about the Hivites is that they were living near Mount Hermon, and they lived in a village, but the place of Mount Hermon represents the place of the blessing, where God commanded the blessing. And instead of them going to the blessing, they just rather stay in the village with everybody else. And so we got that in us. We sometimes belittle ourselves, and we can't see ourselves having the blessing. We doubt ourselves about getting what God has in store for us. We doubt ourselves about coming into unity with others so that we can have victory in this life. I wish I had somebody. That's what Psalm 133 reading. He said that there is where the Lord commanded the blessing. He said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like a precious ointment. It's like the oil that flowed from the hair, even down to the beard and upon the skirts of Aaron, the priesthood. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that some of us are just like the Hivites. We live in the place where the anointing flows, but we won't get under the anointing. We live nearby the place where God command the blessing, but we won't go to the blessing. We doubt and we fear, and we won't take the next step because ain't nobody in my village taking that step. So we'll just hang out right here because I'm satisfied with the little bit I got. I'm satisfied with not taking a step of faith. I'm satisfied without taking a leap of faith. Do I have anybody to say, I'm tired of being a Hivite and I'm going to step out on faith and I'm going to become all that God wants me to be? I hope I help somebody today. Lord have mercy. I'm just trying to give you a picture here, trying to show you the shadow, what God is saying to us. He says in verse 4, they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. I like that. You know why? Because if God commanded, that means his commands didn't change. He said, I gave them to the fathers, and I want the sons to do it. I gave them to the fathers and the mothers. I want the daughters to do it. Amen. And what we find today is that people are saying that God changes his mind about stuff. But the Bible said God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So to all those preachers who are saying that God changed his mind about certain things, I want to tell them that they are lying. The truth.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m.